Welcome to Watch Over,
a podcast devoted to all things Arrow and Felicity.
Featuring myself, Jen, aka J Buffy Angel,
and me, Kelly, aka Callista Wolf.
Be aware we do discuss spoilers
and swear now and then,
but we will always have fun and you will too.
That is the first time I've ever seen simultaneously you guys joined at the same time. That's super.
That was boom. Amazing. Boom. We planned that.
Mm-hmm. We're synchronized.
Totally planned. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just poof, instant Jen and Kelly. How is Jen what? In the post T-Swift afterglow?
I want to lie, Maddie, and say, like, it was really not a big deal, but it was like a spiritual experience.
It is. There's your life is now measured before and after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I have never screamed so much at a concert in my life.
Like, people who aren't even Swifties who've gone, like, with friends or loved ones, right, or whatever, like, leave and go, that was the best concert I've ever been to.
And I went on night 2 from Minneapolis, and we were rowdy. She even commented on it. She's like, you guys are out of control. We were like, we're here to Swiftie. And then, yeah. So it was really
We've
good.
Been cooped up inside for months, and now the sun has come, and so has
Minnesota
Taylor.
Takes their summer very, very serious. So this is like this was a big event. So
cute.
Yeah. So what happened? What did we do? Okay, so it was hilarious because, okay, so I went with my sisters and their kids, all the kids who are Swifties. And then my sister, Katie's husband, Jared, is a Swiftie. So we went and, like, my sister Katie, she's the oldest. And, like, there's just things that she just takes care of everything. Like, she's in charge. It's just the way the birth order dictates, like, how things are done in life. And we're all very comfortable with it. But it was my sister Erin who got the tickets. She had the code. So all the tickets were on her Ticketmaster.
Oh, and yeah, yeah.
She did not download them before we got to the US Bank Stadium.
Oh my God. Did no one tell her?
I don't know. I read what to do before you go to Taylor Swift article in the Star Tribune, and they were like, the number one thing was, like, download your tickets before you even get anywhere near Minneapolis because the Wi-Fi blows. So Lauren and I were fine, and we had, like, come upon this crush of humanity. Everybody was going in the front door, like the two stinking gates they have at the front door, but then I saw, like, a little side gate that nobody was at, so we were, like, plowing through the line to get in really fast. And I'm, like, looking at my sister as Erin's, like, and she has, like, this crappy Samsung phone. I was, like, watching Katie's husband, Jared. And, like, we were both, like, thinking the same thing. Like, there is going to be a murder. Like, if she doesn't, she's going to kill her right here in front of the stadium. She's just going to die. God. So, like, finally, Katie, and, like, I could tell Katie was, like, internally screaming inside, but, like, trying to remain calm. She was like, so how's it going? And Aaron's like, this is extremely stressful. Just do it for me. I don't know how she got it done, but she got it done. And, like, literally as they're walking through the gate, the tickets downloaded.
Oh,
but it was like,
touch and go.
It was stressful, y'all. And then, I don't know, I was kind of surprised by how fast the merch line moved. Like, we had people camping out.
How early did you get there?
Went crazy. Like, we got there, I would say, well, we met for lunch. So we had lunch from, like, 2 to 2, about 4. We got there about 4:30, I think, because the gates opened. Yeah, we were there, like, a little after 4:30 because the doors opened at 4:30. So we got there pretty soon. But, like, there was literally, I mean, there's just thousands and thousands of people trying to come into this freaking stadium.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, I really was like, because I listened to Callie and, like, your stadium, like, had their shit together and was, like, getting everybody through pretty. No, it was not the case.
new stadium, so like everybody is like new and on their A game, and all right. the technology is brand new. And
it was rough. I was like, this is not a well-oiled machine. Also, when we got in the stadium, like it really felt like the air conditioning wasn't on.
Oh no. Oof.
And I was like, I know
that's a problem.
I was like, I know how much the stadium costs. My tax dollars are inside this freaking building. Where the hell is the air conditioning? It was so hot, you guys.
Really?
Like,
well, yeah, because of thousands of people.
Well, there's thousands of people. I was in a long sleeve jumpsuit, so I was okay. But like Lauren, who was in this skimpy little dress, was like, it's okay. I was like, yeah, you're like half naked. I'm only let you dress this way because you're going to a concert with her mommy. And like, she had this little teeny tiny, like,
and
little...
any men that'll be there are boyfriends, like, or gay.
All women. Like, she can't. It was the cutest dress. She had a lover dress where it was like that kind of like, you know, it like the colors fade together. It was all purple, pink, and like really pastel and sparkly. It was perfect. It was perfect for lover. And then she did like the little heart around her eye. Like, she really put a lot of thought into her
ensemble.
Like, she was like, I'm going hardcore. So I was like, that's fine. Like, my dad saw the dress and he was like, I don't know about that dress, Lauren Kathleen. I was like, she's going with her mother and it's literally going to be Estrogenville. Relax. He was like, okay, fine. It's like, relax, Pops. But yeah, no, it was like so hot. That was like only like my main like complaint. But other than that, it was like a religious experience.
I'm glad I went in March.
Yeah, it was hot. It was hot. People were like sweating. It was rough. But like, okay, so we didn't really pay. We got in the merch line. The merch line moved. We were through the merch line in about 45 minutes. My niece was so funny. She was like, oh gosh, how do I pick? What do I get? And she was like, Mom, that sweatshirt. She's like, oh, that's such a cool sweatshirt. But she's like, it's like $75. And my sister was like, we are at Taylor Swift. Money is no object. Get whatever you want. I was like, it's like Disneyland. I was like, strike while the iron is hot, Tegan. She's like, okay.
Don't second guess it. Just,
yeah, just do
just
it.
Say
just
thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go.
Say thank you, I love you, and give her a hug.
I have to admit, I really didn't listen to the opening acts. Like, I think we had Owen. So Owen is the guy who was in the lover video.
Yes, and he was her one of her dancers on the Reputation tour.
And then I guess Girl in Red was the other, and I didn't know her at all. We went to the bathroom while she was singing because I was like, I don't recognize her at all. But we, please, y'all, like, we were up so high that Lauren was scared. Like, we we got up there, and she's like, Mommy. It's fine. You're literally sitting on concrete. It's cool. We'll be fine. I was like, and if we die, we're dying at Taylor Swift, so it'll be worth it. Whatever.
Did you feel it shaking?
It didn't.
Okay. Because everybody else has been like, it's shaking. And I'm like, yeah. But the stadiums are supposed to shake, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was loud. Like, it's really quite the experience having 75 whatever, how many people, 75,000 can fit in that stadium and like screaming their brains out.
And it's
like,
literally every seat. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's every seat. There's no empty seat. It's packed. Like, everybody is there. Like, I would actually say, like, that was the most fun, was just being in a crowd that like is equally as obsessed with her and just like losing their minds. And they're like, there are people who know every line, like Callie, they know every line to every song and they can sing right along with it. I was really happy we didn't have anybody too obnoxious who's like screaming so loud that you can't hear her. Like, everybody in my section. I mean, we're still Minnesotan.
That would be hard to do.
Yeah, we're still Minnesotan, so like our frenzy is still polite. So
yeah.
We're not gonna hear too much. But we were on the side of the stage. So I was like stressing and texting Callie, like, I don't know if I'm going to see her. And like, Callie calmed me down a lot. I mean, it was a fairly pointless conversation because Nick was like, it's not like you picked these seats. They were what you got. Like, it was Armageddon. Like, you
get in the building.
Exactly. You got in the building. You won the war. I was like, fair point. But what I really did appreciate was what Callie said. She's like, she does everything in the center. And she really does. Like, we miss like most of like the stage dancing and like whatever she had going on behind her, but like from the highest point in the U.S. Bank Stadium looking down. She built the center of the stage. Everything was built in a way that if you are on the top level, like, it's made for you from the visuals. Like, yes. If you're on the ground floor, you're kind of missing a lot of the graphics. Well, like, you see the stage, you're missing some of the graphics.
You see why I said I was glad that I had the floor experience, but I'm also glad that I was up
that
in
you
the
were
bowl
up a level.
Because then I could see the stage, because the stage yep. is its own thing.
Yep. I would say, like, lower bowl people...
Best of both worlds.
The best seats.
Lower bowl, you won everything. That was probably the best seat in the whole
If you
shebang.
Could only go to one show.
Yep.
And you got to pick where you were sitting, I would pick
you
lower
go lower bowl. I would never get a floor seat. To me, like, if you're one or two, if you're first or second row, cool. But after that, it's just a mosh pit.
Eh. I mean, we were.
Felt like that to me and down there. But I don't know. You were really close.
We, because it's post-COVID, like, everybody was in their seats, and then there was security making sure the people stayed in their seats.
Oh, you got seats? There are no seats on the floor.
No, there were seats.
In your stadium, there are no
seats. And in yours, too. I've seen the videos, darling.
Is there?
Yes.
I was so high up, I couldn't even see the seats. That's how high up I was. Like, I was like, it doesn't look like there's seats.
No, there's still seats because they have to assign. Like,
yeah. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Otherwise, it's just like, whatever. No, it looked like everybody was just standing.
It's a post-COVID thing that all these stadiums, everybody has to have a seat.
Okay, and that's why they cordoned it. They had, like, little pink tape around each section, which I thought was really cute.
But no, there would be, like, there was, like, one little trunk of people that was between us and, like, the main stage. And then we were between them. We were next to them and next to the diamond, the side of the diamond.
Yeah, that's pretty much perfect.
And so we were 9 rows back, I think. But that's, like, not quite as far back as the edge of the diamond, like the tip of the diamond. So we were
It's one of the scenarios where it pays to be tall.
Yes. So Callie's like 5'11". So
I am not. I'm 5'8¾".
It feels like you're 5'11" when you put your higher sneakers on, because I'm like 5'6". So I feel like, and then Maddie just like towers over
higher
all of us when
sneakers.
She rocks her heels.
I'm actually 5'11". So
yeah, that's right. Maddie's 5'11". That's right. I knew somebody was 5'11".
I do not wear heels at all, even like thick soles.
Put your shoes on. It gives you like another like half
no.
inch. It makes you feel really tall.
No. If I had floor seats, I know it's kind of a jerk move, but I would do platform shoes. So then,
I mean,
like,
listen, I saw some people committed to their ensembles. Like, I would not, first of all, body confidence. I'm proud of everybody. There was just so much body confidence. Like, I am going to wear a sparkly bodysuit and everybody can fuck off. It was really the attitude, and I was living for it.
Basically.
Second, the shoes. Because I was like, I was in my sparkly jumpsuit, but I listened to Callie and I was like, were you doing like, and I made Lauren wear her nice comfortable sneakers with her sparkly dress. Because I was like, we're doing like comfortable shoes.
Are you glad that you had come?
Oh my God. Because you're standing for 3.5 hours.
Exactly.
Like, it's legit. You're
you need the arch support.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, listen, my feet ain't what they used to be. But like, there were people in like platform heels. And I'm
I don't
just
know
like,
how they did it.
Like super high heeled boots. Like, I was like, girl.
There I don't was know how Taylor girl. Did it. Taylor wore those sky high heels
like,
for 3 hours.
They like there used to have to be like hundreds of thousands of dollars of shoes that she has, because it's like I feel like they're made super comfortable for her, because that girl rocks them.
I mean, no problem. She didn't take a moment. Like there was there was no stopping at all.
That
ever.
Was the craziest part, because like there's very very brief breaks of like setup between the different eras.
But just
like,
enough time for her to change her outfit.
Yeah, like
she's
you know,
like sprinting
like
5 seconds
to put on the costume and then she's back out. And I'm like, and it's not like she's sitting at the piano, guys, for 3.5 hours. She is out there dancing and singing. I was so impressed. Like she literally sounds like her record. And I know she's got her backing vocals and there's the fun techno, whatever they're doing. But like, she really does sound just like the record. And I just remembered feeling very proud of her because of all the shit she used to get when she was 15 and how she couldn't sing live. Like, if you, and like her vocal cords,
I was one of those people.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I didn't pay to go see Taylor Swift in the beginning because I was like, well, I'm not going to drop all this money if this kid can't sing live. So the first time I ever saw her was 1989. And I was like, I don't know what all this she can't sing live shit is. But I was just like, she sounded amazing.
Also, it got better with age.
And it got better with age. Yes. She was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, relax. So I was like, imagine if you had gone to like all of her concerts and just seen like.
The progression.
Yeah, the progression, the culmination in the Eras tour. I don't really I don't know how she's ever going to top this. I know she will. But like, I don't know how.
I don't know how either.
It's literally like she could retire right now and I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. But that's she won't. So fine. I would be like, yeah, this is it. See
that's ya. Fair.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it was really spectacular. Like, it was spectacular even when I wasn't like seeing the full stage, y'all. That's how spectacular it was. So the people who saw the full stage.
That's the thing. Like, I saw a reel over like the past week or so that was zooming in on like her like insane arm muscles, and they're like, what is she training for? And people are like, ripped. Do you realize she's training for this
training
tour?
For this. I was like, it's a 3.5 hour marathon that she's doing. And what's crazy,
the athleticism
is, like,
required for that.
And like
is
the breath control is like crazy. Like when she's doing rep, I don't know, maybe I just like forgot how much there's dancing in rep, but I was just like, damn, Taylor, like, you're like moving, girl. Like, take a seat, relax a little. You know what
so
I mean?
What was your favorite? What was your favorite part of the show?
Oh God, that's like almost impossible. Okay, I know what my favorite part is. I was like, no, that's impossible. Okay, no, I was like, no, I just. It was, and it's so funny because this is not one of my favorite. It's like I love the song, but it's like not my favorite. The Enchanted moment when she comes out in the big sparkly dress. I lost.
Yeah, that's pure Jen.
I lost my shit. Like, Lauren, I actually started to get, like, emotional and started to cry. And Lauren was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think you're going to have to hold me up while I stare at her. She looks like a little, like, so we're so high up. She looks like a little sparkly fairy diamond. And then she comes out, and it looked like Barbie meets Glinda the Good Witch meets Taylor. And, like, we got the all pink one. And I was just like, I'm going to die. Like, I told Lauren, I was like, listen, I'm sure if you get married, I will love your wedding dress. But second to my wedding dress, there is no other dress I have ever seen that I love more than this. And she was like,
all her costumes were so good.
The costumes were, I couldn't get over the costumes. They were amazing. And they fit each era so perfectly. Yep. Like, there are some color choices where I was like, yeah, that wouldn't be my thing, but it really like makes sense for what you're going for. There was it's a very eclectic collection, but it all flows together. And I love that she changes the colors on the nights. Like there's different, like
to differentiate a little bit,
different shades and stuff. And I was so happy with the selection of colors that we got because it was mostly pink. Excited.
Appropriate.
Like,
you know what?
When I
found
saw the other options, I was like, nope. I liked the folklore dress we got. I liked the 1989 dress we got. I liked pretty much everything that she picked were my favorites.
You know what?
I love that for you.
I know.
I was surprised.
Here's the deal, guys. So they're like, Jen, haven't you seen this? I did not watch any TikTok.
I know you didn't.
So I have not seen any of this.
I couldn't have done that because I don't know. I like knowing what to expect.
Well, Lauren was so funny because, like, every song that comes up, Lauren's, like, right there with her. She's singing the whole thing. And, like, listen, my daughter loves Taylor Swift, but she's not a hardcore, like, dyed-in-the-wool Swiftie. Like, she didn't like Folklore. She didn't like Evermore. I don't know.
There was a lot of Folklore in Evermore in that.
Yeah, and I was like, but here she is. She's, like, belting the Folklore in Evermore. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, you didn't even listen to this record. And then I just like, and she just smiled at me and then I just stared at her and I was like, you Googled the set list. And she's like, damn right. And she's like, and I've been playing in the car every single day for like the last 6 months.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like any like, good person preparing for the concert.
I was like,
there's the cutest.
I wasn't prepared. I was like, she's like, this is Taylor Swift. I'm not messing around.
Exactly. How many chances do you get to go to the Eras tour? You
can exactly. I was so proud. And I didn't even have to tell her to do that. Mm-hmm. She just was like, I'm on it. Nick was so funny. He's like, oh, yeah, because he drives her to dance. Like she's in the car for an hour for dance every day. And he's like, yeah, it was straight up. We took a break from the Broadway shows, and it was straight up. It was the set list for Taylor Swift for like the last 3 months. I was like,
concerts
was really
are more
smart
fun when you know all the songs.
Right. So like she was right there. 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch. Like she was like all over it. And I was like, Lauren.
I'm so proud.
You know what I found impressive was like the songs that maybe aren't my favorites. Like if I'm listening through the album, these are songs that I would normally skip. And then Look What You Made Me Do in Bad Blood. Yep. They were amazing in concert.
They're amazing.
Yeah, because those are like, they're not substance, but they're bombast, which works well in a live situation with the glitter and the pyro and the lights.
Don't Blame Me to Look What You Made Me Do is amazing. Mm-hmm. Taylor's in the Glass Boxes was amazing. Yep.
Amazing.
And then, you know, you got Bad Blood and there was just like so much fervor and then the fire and it was just like, that was great. So
I forgot that you didn't get to see Rep.
I've only watched the Netflix about 50 million
times. 7,000 times. No, I mean, it was, I mean, when you hit Rep Reputation, it's like, she's like, let's do this. Like there's fireworks, there's flames. It's insane. I miss the snake. I only noticed the snake on TikTok. She has a snake with the lighted up watches. Everyone lights up.
Yes.
In the correct. Shape of a snake.
I didn't notice like, it either cool. on either that. Of my nights.
I almost missed the diving into the stage. Lauren had to like shake me. She's like, and then like she dove in the stage. That was super cool. Lauren, God bless her heart. She's like, is she really swimming up the?
Mom, yes, there's really water under there.
She was like, because of course Taylor could swim through water under a stage and come out looking
dry
like a magical princess, like that's just like natural, like of course I was almost tempted. Oh absolutely, she's swimming under there. And I'm like, Lauren, girl. Like, yeah, that was done. I was like, she's like, okay, I'm over it. But I was just like, it looked really real.
Did you I
it's well, okay, your brain short circuits yourself, at the concert.
Since you didn't spoil yourself on anything, Jen, one of the previous dates, like more kind of like it was a while ago, might have been around Nashville, Tampa. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyhow, the stage malfunctioned when she went to go dive in. And so she kind of like stood there and like you heard the splash noise and she's like going like her hands up like, what? You know? It was funny. It was cute. Like
that's hilarious.
Taylor plays off like those moments perfectly.
There was also like this.
Did you see the one where she ate a bug?
Yes.
No, so, I love that one.
That one was amazing. That was like one of my favorite videos.
There was
like,
one
I
moment
just ate
where,
a
like,
bug. Delicious.
I need to pause this for a second just to process.
Amazing.
Okay, we're
reset.
Good.
There we go. There was a moment where something really loud crashed behind the stage, loud enough that was over the music that everyone could hear it. So it was really loud. And like she just kind of was like strumming the guitar and she's like looking like, I don't know what the hell that was, but we're just gonna play through it. So that was really cute. So our surprise songs, we got Dear John, which was great. We got a little speech before Dear John about how like she doesn't care.
Let's
about
not create a mob
20-
and string him up with.
Exactly. We don't need to like light him in effigy and whatever. And it was a little confusing to me because I was like, this feels a little random because she didn't do that
for legal reasons.
Right. I was like,
somebody said they thought that she's trying to avoid him suing her again.
Could be. Or it just came out, Ed Sheeran is doing a show with him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ed,
so,
what are you doing?
I know, Edward question. But see, like, if she hadn't have said that and fans find out about this, I mean, they would have, I mean, like, I think she was actually trying to protect Ed Sheeran. That's what I think
that
it was about.
That would make some sense, yeah.
Yeah, because so, like, the fans also, are going to, like, come for him.
What
right, which is
that?
Why Exactly.
They like, still Edward, will.
Examine your life choices. So, like, it's a showcase, and then John Mayer is, like, a special guest star, and then Little Big Town is coming. I literally just saw it on TikTok.
So but I was also, like, we're still going to string up John Mayer. I mean,
honestly, after she made
Taylor Lautner was right. We should pray.
I know. After she made the speech, the comments under his, like, Instagram are even funnier. They're just hysterical. Like, you tattled to mom, mother yelled at us, like, you know, like, so I'm like, I'm living for John Mayer.
Do you
like,
need mother right to now. Protect you?
Right. Like, since you can't tell, like, I guess he got like their age difference wrong. And so like, they've been just like dragging him for that. It was hilarious. It was just this fan. Is full of some really hilarious creative people that they just so I really think it stopped. They just changed the tone a little bit. And then the other secret song we got was Daylight. What were your secret songs,
which is
Callie,
such a great song. We got Snow on the Beach.
Oh, that's a good one.
And shit I forgot.
But
I have to look.
But this happens, like, there's a sensory overload that you're like, because like Nick is like, how was it? And I was like, I actually can't process everything that
we
I saw.
Got, we got,
like, it's overwhelming.
Okay, so the second night we got Cowboy Like Me and White Horse.
Oh, that's nice.
Remember we had, they had
Marcus Mumford
come out.
Oh, that's right. I would have killed to see him. That was amazing.
Yeah, and so that's
died.
What we got. That the first night, it was, the second song was a debut song, I want to say, but I can't remember now which one it was. It might have been, no, I don't, you know, I have to go like look at my video and remember.
I know, I'm like so grateful for TikTokers right now, because I'm just like,
I am fingers crossing. Okay. Of
Mirrorball, Tim McGraw, This Is Me Trying, State of Grace, Our Song, Snow on the Beach. So how many shows did she have in Vegas? Holy cow.
No, those were Glendale, darling.
Oh, that's Glendale. One. Okay, hang on.
Snow on the Beach
like
was Vegas.
Yeah. Okay, so Vegas, yep, Snow on the Beach, and Our Song.
Okay, I wanted to say Our Song, but I was like, I think I would have remembered our song, but clearly not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So everybody in Minnesota thought we were going to get Exile. Everybody thought Bon Iver was going to be there because he lives in Eau Claire.
Or Evermore or both.
Yeah, one of both. So, like, everybody was saying, like, okay, night one, it's going to be Bon Iver, and they're going to sing Exile. And I told Cal, I was like, if I miss Exile by one night, like...
She plays it tonight. She's playing it right now.
That's your villain origin story. Like,
yes. I'm like, I cannot. So I was actually, Bon Iver didn't show up on Friday night. So we were like, well, maybe he'll show up Saturday. But I was like, him just showing up for one of the two shows, like, that seems a little sketchy. So I was kind of like, my attitude was either we all get Exile or nobody gets it. That's my attitude. So I was fine.
Somebody's going to get Exile. You've seen the world tour dates.
Exactly. Like, I was literally at the point, like, well, clearly he just has to sing it both nights. Because, like, does anybody care about Evermore that much? Not really. We just want to hear Exile twice.
I love Evermore.
I love it, but you would never pick Evermore over Exile.
No.
But that's where I know.
God tier.
Amanda, when she sees it at SoFi in LA, she's going to get some good guests and songs. And
yes.
Because LA, they're going to bring
date.
It.
She added more dates for the LA shows. So
one more day. But so they've already got like, what, 5, 6, 7 shows?
Yeah, it's like 6 nights.
Because I'm even thinking, like, because some of the new Speak Now songs have like bits from Paramore and Fall Out Boy that I'm like, it'd be fun if they showed
That'd
up.
That'd be super
cool. Yeah, it's 1 week till Speak Now Taylor's version.
But I was really shocked that she sang Daylight, because that's such a Joe song.
I love that song.
So I was like, I really didn't think we were going to get Daylight, because I
think
that
she's
really...
going to do all of them. Like, every song that's not on the set list, I think that every
she's
song
gonna
is
going
to
go through the
whole.
Yeah. So what turned out, the reason why she played Daylight is there was a fan who tweeted her. And her brother had died. That was the anniversary of the brother, and just said to Taylor, it'd be so cool if you sang Daylight. And she saw the tweet and she sang Daylight. So we were like, we really lost. People lost their shiznit over both songs. But I think people really lost it over Daylight. They were like, "Are you? Is this real? Is this happening?" And it was so gorgeous. It was so pretty. So yeah, it was basically amazing. And I love her. And good. I will follow her to the ends of the earth. And yeah.
Did you see the janitor cart coming out?
I did. Oh yeah. So Cal gave me the heads up that they wheel Taylor in through a janitor cart that has shovels on top.
Yeah.
So Lauren and I were positioned perfectly to see shovel cart.
I knew you were. When you showed me where your seats were, I'm like, you're going to be able to see the cart.
You're going
to
see shovel cart. Yeah. Get ready. Lauren was like, at first I thought she was videoing.
Then Lauren's like, mission accepted.
No. Lauren was like, this is not a joke. I'm going to get this. And she was like, I thought she was videoing the opening act. And I was like, Lauren, like, put the phone down, save your battery. Like, you don't need to be. And she's like, no, I'm getting ready for shovel cart. And I was like, oh, she got it. She found shovel cart. And then we were at the perfect spot where she was walking back. Everybody was freaking out and we got a wave. It was cool.
Yeah.
So, I know, it was nice. Like, well, she didn't wave at me, but we saw a little blue speck waving at us. So I pretend like she was waving at me. It was like a little sparkly Tinkerbell. Like, I was like, oh, there's love you. I'd adopt you. So no, she's like flawless. It was the most flawless concert I've ever seen in my life. I don't think anything will ever top it.
It was, it's an event.
And you're like emotionally exhausted afterwards too.
You really are. And like, then you go again the next night if you're me.
I can't believe you did two nights. I don't like Cal. I've done cons with you. Either. You've gotten tired at cons. And I'm like, I don't understand, man, how you did it two nights in a row.
I don't know either. All I know is like until it's like just something that the comes over week, you. I was a mess. Like I was.
Yeah, I slept all day Sunday. Like Nick had to check on me. He was like, "Are you dead?" And I'm like, "Probably."
I had to recover.
I was like, I saw the most amazing thing ever.
You know, like, the worst part though for me the first night was walking back to the hotel from.
It was awful. Yeah. So
that was the worst part. So the second night we didn't have to walk as far. It wasn't as bad. If I hadn't had to walk that far the first night, I think I would have held up much better than I did.
So like Minneapolis is sketch. Like you can't walk around there anymore. So the crime. Because
also with most major cities, wherever the stadium ends up being, it's
super exactly. sketch. So like, okay, so my sister, so Nick, God bless the man, he drove me and Lauren down and he said he would come get us. So he literally just dealt with traffic the whole time. Like, I love him. He's an absolute saint. So, except we didn't like figure out a meeting place. He was like, I'll just call you and we'll like figure out where I'm at, where you're at, and we'll meet. But like, it was pouring rain, like buckets of rain. And I was like, I am not walking Lauren, who has no coat and is dressed like how she's dressed, an uber sketch section of Minneapolis. So we ended up just walking with my sister to their parking garage. And then Nick came to the parking garage and like we met in a stairwell. It was kind of magical how we found each other again. So I was just like, I'm not. He's like, no, you're right.
But you see why I said having a plan on how to get there and how to get out.
We didn't think this through enough. I feel like
I tried to warn you.
I know.
Well,
I know.
I still remember because I hate driving downtown with a passion. And so like years ago when Amanda came and visited for us to do Jonas Brothers together, like the basketball stadium that's in downtown Dallas, I was just like, nope, I'm not doing all of this. We'll just Uber. And doing the Uber on the way back, the normal price is jacked up so much that actually like the luxury one was cheaper than the normal Uber with surge prices. So we basically, we took like a fancy town car back to our apartment.
Nick like looked into that for us. Cause I was like, you're like, well, Jen, why didn't you just drive? Listen, guys, I am directionally impaired. Minneapolis is because
it was, it was like $85 for the town car versus like 120 for a normal like Uber of someone in a Camry to pick you up. So
we're he looked into a car for us, but it was going to be like $500.
Okay, no.
So he was like, I'll just drive you. And like, why didn't I just drive? Minneapolis And yes, I've lived here my whole life, but it doesn't mean like I hang out in downtown. Like, it's the screwiest city that you'll ever be in. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to the streets because whoever developed the city or and whoever planned the city went with the flow of the river. So it's like, and you know, like you're in New York, it goes like 3rd Street, 4th Street, 5th Street. Like, there's some predictability to the numbers that doesn't exist in Minneapolis.
You know,
it's just completely random.
If anybody out there is familiar with Las Vegas, particularly the Strip, and the traffic on the Strip, particularly around like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, like getting to the concert from our hotel on the Strip that first night, we couldn't do it. It was gridlock. I mean, it was grid fucking lock. So Harry and I had to get out because Kyle was trying to drive us down, but like we couldn't get anywhere. Like we went like a block in 30 minutes. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, you're going to miss the concert.
Yeah, we did. We missed all of Gale by the time we got there. So we got out and we walked and we were trying to hurry. And so I was already wrecked, my feet-wise, my calves and everything, by the time we got there. And we missed Gale. And it was just like, it was chaotic. So that's why I was like, make a plan for how
make a plan.
And how
we had
to get
a plan
out.
For getting there. We just didn't, because I was like, oh, it'll be the end of the concert. Like, we don't have anywhere to be. Like, we'll just sort it out. No. And we did, but it was like stressful. Like, we sorted it out, but it was like a stressful conversation with my husband because he was like, I literally can't get to you. Like, I understand what you're telling me, and I literally cannot physically get to the parking garage.
It is shoulder to shoulder. When Harry and I were walking over that bridge the first night afterwards, because of course we're on the floor, and the floor are like the last people to get out of the stadium.
Yeah.
So like
all
the tears have already gotten out. So it's already madness outside the stadium. And so we got out there and we were just, it was shoulder to shoulder. Like we were shuffling, like tripping over like planters because you couldn't see them because shoulder to shoulder. I mean, it was just people. Yeah. And then there's this bridge that goes over the interstate, and it was just people. It was so much.
There was a video of Atlanta Metro pulling up to the station where all the people leaving the concert were about to like unload. And it's just these people that are like getting home from like work that are just like the panic in their eyes as they like huddle and grab their like purses or backpacks or whatever. And just see this sparkly crowd of like chaos.
Yes. It's just a flood of like
descend
and like people stressed and hot and just trying to find your way out of the freaking.
Yes.
There was such a crush of humanity. Lauren and I were just trying to get to our seat. And like they had this was like horrific planning. They had a merchandise table and a food booth thing right across from each other. So like,
it was literally
a bottleneck of humanity. And like to get through it, there was this one teeny tiny like space that you could like work your way through. But it was like, if it was my mother who's claustrophobic would have had a panic attack because you were literally just like people on top of people.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not fun. I do not enjoy this. This is not great. But then once you broke through it, you were fine. I was like, whoever planned where that merch table is going to be, like, think about your choices. That's all I have to say. But overall, it was a spectacular experience.
Yeah.
And I'm
magical.
Very excited for when she does her Eras video. For whatever streaming site.
Surely it's going to be.
Because it's going to be spectacular. Because then I get to see all the stuff that I missed. But yeah, I can't get over the costumes. I really can't. I'm actually going to get a sweatshirt from Etsy that has like all the Taylors in her outfits for my show. Like you can pick them.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
I know. I'll send you the link. It's super cool. So I'm like, I'm totally doing it. I'll get like mugs for my sisters. I'm excited. Because I have a thing about the costumes. And I ordered a Funko doll of Taylor in the pink dress. It's really expensive and I can't believe I'm spending this much on
Nick doesn't even know how much that is.
I have not given him a number. I am actually refusing to. And I called my sisters and they were like, absolutely, you need to do this. And I was like, but you don't, like, it's an embarrassing sum.
They're
like,
enabling.
That's fine. Yeah, they're like, that's fine. She's like, if you wanted someone to say no, you would have just asked Nick. I was like, well, I kind of floated it past him, and he wanted to know how much, and I wouldn't tell him. So that's how that went. They're like, that's fine. Go ahead. I was like, okay. Like I'm going to have to answer for this in purgatory, you guys. Like, Jesus is going to be like, there are starving people. What is wrong with you that you bought a plastic doll?
Speaking of
a pink sparkly dress.
Like, speaking of Vegas, guess where my husband is right now?
I don't know. Where is he?
Vegas.
Oh. That was a surprise, actually.
Quite the segue.
It just reminded me. I was like, where is he? I'm like, oh, yeah. He's in Las
Vegas. Excuse me, Sam. Where did you go? Yeah.
So, yeah, that I have to, like.
Like a Taylor depression afterwards. You're like, oh, there's no more Taylor.
Yeah, but it's okay because there's Speak Now.
Like, and you experience it, and now I'm just, like, living for, like, people's TikTok videos of it.
See, mm-hmm. Now you can watch for the secret songs. There's people that sign on every Friday, Saturday night to, like, find a live stream and watch the surprise songs.
Oh, that's exciting. I might have to do that.
Yeah.
I'm still not over that I missed the last time. I'm still, like, not over that. But I'll have to let it go because I got daylight. So it's fine. Everything worked out fine.
You did pretty good.
I did pretty good. I did
you
pretty
got good. A good mixture.
I did. Well, and she's very light on Speak Now because I think she doesn't want, like, they're doing the launch for it. So she's not doing as many songs for that because she is going to promote the album.
I think there's going to be a lot of Speak Now after the release.
Yeah, after she rolls it out. Yeah, which is fine. I like Speak Now, but it's not, like, one of my faves.
I haven't listened
to one of my all-time Taylor faves is Haunted. So that's why.
Yeah, I love Haunted.
Mm-hmm. Haunted's good.
I haven't listened to a lot of it historically, but I've listened to it more, obviously, like, in the last year or so. And, like, every time I listen to it, I like it more. So I can't wait for her version to come out. It's going to be amazing. I love Haunted.
She was always very, like, pop country. I never really felt like she was just straight country. It always felt like, you know, like,
You seen of, like, the old concert clips and stuff are starting to go viral of, like, her really putting on the accent, and it's just kind of hilarious and adorable at the same time.
The girl was working the crowd. Like, she's selling it hard.
She was doing what they told her to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I was like, I noticed, like, when she's singing the song now, that she did put on a little bit of an accent, but, like, not a lot.
Want her to put on the accent.
Not full Reba.
Yeah.
Nina isn't the same song without the accent. So she's got
to. I know. I was like, oh, we can go a little heavier there, Taylor. It's okay. We love all versions of you. That's the whole point. So. Yeah.
No, it's, like, it's what I do when I sing along to, like, early albums, Taylor, is I put on, like, intense twang of, like, I go full East Texas, and it's fun.
It's like when my mom gets together with her family, like, they all sound she has this weird, it's like this weird Irish Chicago brogue thing that they do. It's just, it's weird. So it's like that. It's like when you're around the people who have the same accent as you, you pick it up and then you get, like, more pronounced. That's what I felt. I was like, it's okay, Taylor. We love your twangy little accent. So I'm going to actually be in Nashville. Do you know that there's a Taylor Swift museum somewhere? It's like in, like, Switzerland or something. Like, some of her costumes are there. And I was like, I need to go see it.
I want to go
to Switzerland to go see Taylor Swift's costume. I don't know what to tell you. That's what I want.
Have stuff from this tour.
I know. Like, I just want to be, like, the pink dress can be behind glass. Like, I feel like that's probably wise. Like, you would need to protect it from me. Like, I would not have the ability to not touch it. But, like, I also just need to see it.
Yeah.
That's all. I just want to see it. That's all.
That's all.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Truly.
All right, what else are we talking about?
Well.
Cal, do you have to go?
Not just yet.
Okay.
We got started early enough I'm probably good.
I don't think we have time to get through our thing or the Arrow episode.
Because we'll save that for a full episode because 121.
Let's save both.
Yeah, because that's like.
If you guys are like, what are you talking
about? It's one of the one of the best, like, it's my favorite season one.
We can't half-ass it. We gotta put some time into it. And also, Callie has a great idea for series finales that we're gonna do, but like, I don't want to rush through that either because it's a super awesome idea. And so I think we're just gonna
I'll bust out a Google Doc because
we love ourselves a Maddie Google Doc.
Yes, we do.
Organized. Mm-hmm. So that'll force me, like, I'll have homework so I can fill it out.
Oh, and this time will force you to do it a little more than last
time. Exactly. Exactly.
That was the best part of with. Can you believe it's almost been a year since our trip? Like,
I know. We need another one.
I know. That was so much fun.
I know. It was so much fun. We need to do another one.
Because I have pictures from it at my desk at work, and sometimes I look them.
What? I'm so excited. I know. I need to finish hanging all my Arrow stuff and then, like, get my pictures up, my peeps. I have a little wall in my office that I need Nick to do. He hangs pictures for me. He's really good at it. I'm trying to think what else I watched this week. I watched some murder mysteries. I watched that documentary on the guy on – it's on HBO Max of the guy who thought his parents murdered his sister. That was interesting. Oh. It was sad, though.
Yeah, I'll have to start getting into Max because I got an email that I found out it's included with my because I have my cell phone through AT&T.
Yeah.
So that way it's included in my phone plan. So
listen, Max has everything. Like, if there's something you want to watch, you can watch documentaries, you can watch true crime, you can watch cooking shows, you can watch Home Improvement, you can watch Studio Ghibli anime movies, you can watch classic movies, you can watch new movies, you can watch series, you know. It's like, if I only could get one streamer, it would be Max.
Oh, for sure. You do HBO Max. Like, that, or like, I would find a way to get Netflix just because it has Bridgerton.
I'm so excited for season three. It's going to be amazing.
It's looking good. The pictures look not bad.
The pictures are gorgeous.
I mean, they cleaned him up. He looks like he put some muscle weight on, which I like.
Here's the thing. I'm never going to think he's attractive, but I like what they've done with Penelope. I really like what they've done with Penelope.
She finally got a decent wig. Like, because the actress is so beautiful. Like, you take off that ridiculous red wig, and she's got, like, this beautiful, like, white blonde hair. Like, she's stunning. So I was always like, they put her in these like really dowdy wigs. So she finally got a decent hairdo, you guys. And I'm but,
like,
living
they,
for
I
it.
I feel like they did that on purpose. So that the reveal.
It's the glow up.
More mature look.
Yeah. Like, she's like, and like, she's really good. Serious about getting a husband. So she's like on it. And like, her dresses are 1,000 times better.
Oh, everything's so much better.
Colin got like a nice haircut. His hair is like very like floofy. Like very hero hair.
Household curls. It's
hero hair. Love it.
Hero hair. I'm like, I like it. And he's filling out those suits a little bit better. Somebody told him to hit the gym. So
yes.
I don't know.
If you're gonna be the male lead in a Bridgerton season, you
so
kinda
have to. You have to bring it. I actually think that the way I can't remember the actress's name. It's Penelope.
Nicola,
there we go.
Nicola.
So yeah. Nicola said that season one is passion, season two is yearning, and season three is romance.
Interesting.
Okay.
So that says to me, like, they're going to be very sweet, Colin and Penelope. It's going to be a little bit more, I feel like, innocent.
Which
but then I
would rather that than, like, a repeat of season one.
Right. Like, exactly. We're gonna get the carriage scene that that seems clear. So, like, there'll be some stuff, but she says,
but it'll
very
be
romantic.
More romantic and less like Duke and Daphne.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Duke and Daphne were like, it was a lot of
I don't
sex.
Know what their problem was, but
it's when I debate between the seasons that, like, there's the UST of Canthony and just like the build up to that. But then again, season one has a fuck montage to one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs. So
exactly. Like, how do you choose? They're all my babies.
I can choose season two every day, hands down, twice on Sunday.
But see, like, here's my thing, because I like George and Charlotte better now. So, like, it's pushed. Like, Anthony and Kate just, like, third? I'm like,
oh
it just
my
feels
God,
more.
That's
I know.
So embarrassing.
More be wrong to put them at three.
It is wrong.
I know. I'm like, so I kind of need like the, I need the Penelope and Colin season to like even things out a little bit, and I'll get my orders
George
straight.
And Charlotte got second place, and then that means Duke and Daphne in third. Oops.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to rewatch two as well, because like maybe I just, here's the thing. Here's my problem with two. I think it got built up a little bit too much for me and the internet peeps, because everybody was like, just wait until you see Kate and Anthony. And like, they were amazing. Yeah. But I was also like, I don't know.
I think it does really depend on what you're expecting.
Yeah.
The problem is Duke and Daphne dove headfirst into the montages, as Maddie says, but like, I didn't feel like there was any real connection between the two characters. Whereas Kate and Anthony, I really got the connection between the characters. Like, they spent a lot of time kind of building up their banter and kind of like how they were similar, how they were different, and the yearning, as Nicola said, you know, that, I don't know, that resonated more with me watching season two. In season one, it was like, okay, it's pretty to look at, but like, I don't feel anything. You know what I mean?
That's weird, because yeah. Like, I totally felt it from them, but other than, but I will say, like, the problem in that equation was Daphne.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was annoyed with him too. I was just like, it was
like
okay.
The season one storyline.
Like, too. I liked season one a lot. Obviously enough that I went and read all the books,
and have
continued
either.
To watch. Like,
right.
Still really, really good.
It's kind of like, it's an embarrassment of riches. Like, where we're literally exactly. trying to pick like which our favorite are, and they're all amazing. So it's like they're really we're just living fantastic. Our best life in Bridgerton.
It's like when I say it's in third place, it's like that's still really good. Like, it's still
it's up very there. True.
I also feel here's the situation. Given how I am. And the fact that she's like, she said romance, like there could be a possibility that what if I end up liking Colin and Penelope, like as much as I like George and Charlotte, like what will be happening?
I will
life?
Roll over in my grave,
like,
because
I
will
can't
surely be
put
dead.
Colin above the Duke. Like, it's the Duke, for God's sakes. And also Anthony.
I can put anybody above the Duke. It's not a problem.
Because he found himself. Yeah. I mean, Anthony got a better haircut. He got a nice tailor. Yeah, Anthony was some spicy sauce.
I like the trope of basically them doing the duff of like the dating coach, and then, but wait, now I like you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh,
that'll be fun. I like what
that's
gonna
be really fun.
Yeah,
I am really looking forward to Colin yearning for her.
I am too, because I think that needs to happen. Like,
Oliver and Felicity season three.
Gravel.
Exactly. I didn't
like,
enjoy
we were lit
their
as fuck for
so
Ray
much.
Palmer.
I didn't enjoy their book so much because Colin was always a jokester in everybody else's books. But like in his book, he was kind of an asshole. Like every time he turned around, he was grouchy and bitchy and like snapping at Penelope. And it was just like, oh my God, this guy's an asshole. He's insufferable. What does she see in him? So when I heard that they were changing the story.
The order.
The story that they're not necessarily what the book does, that they're having the dating coach thing. I'm like, good. Because what was in the book
was
not trash.
Well, here's what I will say about Shonda Rhimes. And I'm going to say something positive about Julie Plec. So everybody just take a minute.
Okay.
Like when I hear what the Vampire Diaries books are versus what we got in the show. I think Shonda Rhimes has that talent that Julie Plec does, where she can look at a book series and like take the bones of it, but like reformat it in a way that works better.
Like, that's silly. That doesn't work
audiences.
On television.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, it's like, okay, you know, they took a lot of different aspects of each character, but like just improved upon those aspects and the stuff that didn't work and made the character unlikable in the books, they just got rid of. Like, I remember everybody was like, oh, Stefan loses his memory and like Elena has to go like help get his memories back or whatever, and like it was that kind of stuff where there were like big chunks of storylines in the books that like the fandom would know about, and we're like, okay, clearly they're gonna put Stefan loses his memory, clearly they're gonna put a sire bond in there at some point. So it's like you know, they're going to be plot points, but she would make them better than what the book did. I feel like Shonda is also really good at that. Like, she can look at the structure of the book. She takes what's great about it, the book, but then she improves upon it.
She saw what Colin was doing in that book and was like,
right. And she's like, we're gonna change that. Yeah, no, sir. And I feel like the people who are like, it has to be religious to the book, they're going to be extremely disappointed with the series. So just like,
you just learn have to let
like,
go.
It's going to be different. It's like no different than comics. And everybody's saying like, Arrow has to be the same as the comics. No, it doesn't.
People were that way over the Kate and Anthony season. They're like, I don't like what they're doing with Edwina and all this stuff. I'm like, trust the process, guys. Just watch it and go with it.
They lost it over the Edwina thing. And I was a little like, okay, sisters, been there, done that. Not super excited. But I also was like, this is not going to be Oliver, Laurel, and, you know, Sarah.
No, because like, there wasn't any like real feelings between.
Right. I was like, this is the 18th century. He's getting hooked up with the younger sister. He falls in love with the older sister. He's not sleeping with anybody. Calm down. You know what I mean? Like, they barely know each other and they're getting married is basically the plot of every, you know, romance.
Anything
novel.
In that era.
Exactly. That takes like, hi, you're a stranger. We're going to get married now. And then we work on like the emotional aspect of it. So I actually, that part of it was like, I don't really know what else you put, because it had to be about this yearning and I can't have her kind of deal. Yes. I don't know what else you would have used to like put a stopgap in that.
If they had done what the book did, people would have said it was too similar to season one.
Yeah, what did the book do? Remind me what the book did.
At the bee scene, they were...
He sucks on her titty.
Well, he tries to suck the venom out of her bee sting. And then, like, her mom... Or no, his mom and, like, Lady Danbury and Penelope's mom or whatever, like, came and saw them. And so they were...
And so now they have to, like, get married?
Yes.
That's actually patently ridiculous. And I cannot believe that any book fan...
Like it works in the book, but like in the show, what they did was better. So
yeah, exactly. Okay, now I feel pretty good about what Shonda's gonna do.
Because that was the thing when I got into Bridgerton season one that I forget who was that messaged me. They're like, you won't believe what happens in book two, and I was like, how are they gonna put that on screen?
Having the same thing where it's like you're caught in a compromising position and now you have to get married.
Exactly.
Like they did that two one. They can't keep doing that. Right. Yeah. These men have to learn to keep their hands to themselves for God's sakes. Otherwise we're going to have to call like a judge. So I'm just, you know, otherwise it just makes the Bridgerton men look like skeevy.
It does.
You know what I mean? Like you guys don't know the rules of propriety, but my father raised me as a gentleman. Well, clearly not. If you're Mr. Hansy over there and can't keep it in your pants. So we did that. We did the Duke can't stop his overwhelming passion and, you know, make out session. That worked great for season one. I love what they did with Kate and Anthony in season two. And I have a feeling I'm going to really like what they do with. The plot line actually sounds the best of the three. Like, it's not the sister triangle. It's not the weird sex. Whatever that was, and it's actually
Colin.
Like a really good trope from a romance novel.
Yeah. I don't even know what to call him.
I don't even know what to call whatever the Duke and Daphne were. Like, I don't know. Like, when we're talking about like ejaculation and sperm, I feel like we've maybe moved a little too far off the.
It was really skeevy.
Like, I feel like we're losing the romantic aspect. Of the show.
It was not my favorite.
It was gross. Yeah. all around. So it's like you just fast forward through like most of six. Or no, it's seven. Is that seven? Fast forward through most of seven. Just like, and then we're at eight and they're dancing again. Woohoo. But yeah, the trope of like, oh, I'm gonna help you find a man, but I really fall in love with you. I love me some of that.
It's good stuff.
There's been some really great teen romances that have been built upon that altar. So
yeah,
I'm here for it. But it's been a while since I've seen it though, too. Like,
yeah, that's why I referenced the Duff, because that's like the last time I saw it.
I agree. That's the last time I saw it too. Was the Duff?
If you're gonna give us Robbie Amell, then okay, I can.
Which the Duff is basically, She's All That.
She's All That. Yeah.
But it's better. Sorry.
It is.
Agreed.
Because you don't have the misunderstanding of like, wait, it was all a bet. You lied to me. It's like,
No. Oh,
we
my
went
God.
Straight into this.
So
of like,
Callie's gonna be with me on this. Okay, so we started watching Yellow Jackets because Showtime is on Paramount Plus now. Like, it's all combined. So I was like, okay, let's watch Yellow Jackets. I've heard good things about it. I have no idea what it's about. And now I'm at the part where, so like, the flashbacks are taking place in 1996. And I said to Nick, we are officially old enough.
The flashbacks
to the past are our high school experience. And then I was like, and then I couldn't let it go because I was like, they're hitting it too hard. Like, one of the characters was wearing it's 1996. One of the characters wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt and he's like all goth. And I'm like, okay. Nick's like, well, that was true. People wore that. I'm like, that's just too obvious.
In 96,
like, why don't you just have
though, that was a little early for 96.
Yeah, and I was like, why don't... It was a little early for Marilyn Manson. I agree. Wasn't it more like 98, 99?
It was more like 98, 99, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, and then I was like, why don't you just throw a Kurt Cobain poster up? And next scene, what's up?
Kurt Cobain would have been more 94.
Exactly. He was dead by then. So I was like, why are we having Kurt Cobain? I'm like... Like, 96 was more,
like,
it was like
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette, that's it. Yeah, where's Alanis Morissette? I see nothing but Alanis. So, like, they're hitting, like, the wrong music genres, and it's just pissing me off. They're getting the clothes right, but, like,
Alanis Morissette and Spice Girls.
Our parents felt when they have, like, the 60s and 70s, like, the Wonder Years. Like, were you annoyed with the Wonder Years because it got the 60s and the 70s wrong? I have questions.
I bet they were.
They're like, that's not how that went. So I was like, moderately, like, okay.
I found though that I have a hard time with things that go back to like the 80s and 90s because I'm like, you're off. You're off.
In fact, we're gonna Google top music performers 1996.
Okay,
here we go. Come on, Google. Mariah Carey, the Fugees. Smashing Pumpkins. That's who you need for your, like, alternative. Oh, like,
yeah.
It should have been more Smashing Pumpkins than Marilyn Manson.
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely Smashing Pumpkins.
That, I remember that in junior high, listening to Smashing Pumpkins, like, it was going out of style. Like, that's my part. That's right. And then, like, yeah.
Junior high. Are you trying to make me feel old again?
Listen, I'm not trying, but I'm just telling you. I was very, very close to high school.
I was in high school
in 97. I was in high school 98, so I was 2 years away.
I met Kyle in 96.
Bush feels more 96 to me.
Bush is more 96. 95, maybe a little bit. 96.
Hootie and the Blowfish, he was huge in 96.
I remember from 97. I guess I'm thinking of 97 as like Spice Girls.
Yeah, then it starts to get to the bubblegum pop. We hit 98 and it all goes downhill.
But there was also the swing thing going on in there too. Around 98.
Yeah. Yep. What else we got?
Like Brian Setzer Orchestra.
I feel very good about the Mariah Carey. Like, she was the queen. And Alanis Morissette.
Always Be My Baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she was tearing up the charts. And then, And I was going to say Alanis Morissette. Alanis Morissette was enormous.
That
in 96.
Dead Little Pill, like, that's all I listened to for like a
That's
solid
all
year.
We listened to. That's everything. So I was like, what the fuck is this Marilyn Manson and Kurt Cobain bullshit? Like, we have other artists. Can we incorporate some other posters and some other
Marilyn
t-shirts?
Manson
this is all I'm asking for.
After I was out of college. Absolutely. And I graduated in 98, so yeah, it was after I got
Oh, you're right, though. Okay, hang on. I'm just doing top music of 96. So number one is Spice Girls.
I told you.
In 96.
Mm-hmm. I remember how big they were.
Celine Dion, Because You Love Me. Do you guys remember that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer
and
Robert Redford?
Yes, up close
God,
and personal.
I was obsessed with that movie.
That movie was upsetting.
It was so upsetting, and I was like in love with Robert Redford. Like, if you ask me today which old dude would I bang, no questions asked, Robert
is
Redford.
Is he even alive?
To this day. He is alive. He's like in his 80s, and I gotta be honest, he still looks pretty fucking good for 80 something. But like 96 Robert Redford,
oh,
snack. And then my mom, she was like, oh, girl, you don't even know, because I was obsessed with them.
So my she mom made
was
like, you watch The Way We Were?
'70s. Yeah. So then she pulled out The Way You Were. She's like, watch this shit. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, yeah, I know. I was like, it's, and then
you
I was
just like,
on
blonde men, Jen.
No, I know. And then I do. I married one, so. And then I was on to the All the President's Men. I haven't done Butch. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Because I'm like, well, he's like very Western, and I like my Robert Redford a little more clean cut, but you know. Oh, and then I watched, then it really blew my mind because he did the movie with Brad Pitt. The spy Sneakers? Movie. No, oh, no. But I love Sneakers. That's like one of my favorite Robert Redfords. No, it's what's the movie he did with Brad Pitt?
Shit, I can't remember the name of it.
Redford and Pitt. It was really good. Spy Game. He's like the older spy training Brad Pitt how to be a spy. Brad Pitt falls in love with some slightly nefarious woman. And then they both get taken prisoner, and it's Robert Redford who has to save him, and it's so fucking good. It's like too much hot. Like, seriously, if you are like literally like a terrorist, you would just pause and be like, there's no way someone as good looking as you is just some rando.
No.
Like, yeah. They're too beautiful. No, yeah. 96, that was peak Robert Redford time for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. R. Kelly, we don't need to talk about him. Tony Braxton.
Yes.
Yep. Unbreak My Heart.
Unbreak My Heart. Wasn't that earlier, though?
Unbreak My Heart. No, it's 96.
Was it really?
I'm looking at musicvf.com.
What am I thinking of her from 94, 93?
I have no idea how I got on this website.
She had a song in like 94 or 93. I can't remember now what it was. Or maybe the I just made that all up.
The Fugees were huge.
Fugees were huge.
Oh, my favorite band of all time, Goo Goo Dolls. They came out with Name that Irish. Year. They weren't super huge. You have to wait until they did their soundtrack for City Angels. Then that's
City
when
they of Angels. Listen, captured. I've listened to that soundtrack so much. City of
it's
Angels.
It's so good.
Talk about upsetting movies, but killer soundtrack.
Like, it's the most one of the most upsetting movies ever.
It's for some reason I'm triggered by things that I think are a waste, and that to me felt like a waste. Like I
it
was
didn't
so
feel like
upset.
A waste. Like to me it felt very poignant about the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Like
but
that
he took us way too fast.
I know. And I was like
turned around
24 hours, Jesus. Like, come on, man. It was harsh.
It was so harsh.
Super harsh. I was irrationally angry with Meg Ryan's character. Irrationally angry. What? Because, like, she's laying there, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, that's right, you're sorry. What dumb bitch. Like, rides a bike.
Close with her eyes closed.
Middle way. I still get so angry about it. I remember going to see that in the theater.
And I was just I was so devastated.
Oh, I know. I was so upset. I saw it in the theater too, and I was just like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
You know what I saw? This was like all happening around the same time. So you got City of Angels, you got Titanic, and you got Message in a Bottle. Remember that one?
Yep.
And it was just like, it was too much.
It was so bad, you guys. Like, we could not win. You could not end up with your
character. The 90s were so mean.
Brutal.
Oh, it was painful. Because, like, well, clearly one half of this is going to die. We just don't know which half. And it's, they're going to die in the worst way possible. In the way that's like, oh, if they had only. It's like the what if, like, is going to haunt you forever. The only upside is that
it's
we.
True. Guys- you're like your adult. Like romantic dramas, somebody's like one of the pairings gonna die, and then your children's movies, there's gonna be a parent or someone important that dies.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're seeing in the theaters in the 90s,
somebody's dying.
Like,
prepare for trauma.
Scarred. Like you're just a wreck. Like no wonder everybody has so much anxiety.
Honestly, the reason my hate for Nicholas Sparks comes from Message in a Bottle, because I was told it was a romance, and I'm like, this is not a fucking romance.
Like everybody's like, oh, The Notebook, and I'm like, The Notebook, you get off pretty easy because it's like
that was a happy ending.
That was actually cheerful
because they lived a full life together at the very.
Right. and like they had a very happy life and they had the babies, and like she does remember him when he reads the story, and then they just die together in bed, which, let's just be honest, we all want to go that way.
Exactly.
Nick, if I just say to him, listen, let's hit the hay, check you on the other side, my friend. That's literally what they said to each other, and then it happened.
Not to get in a weirdly personal anecdote. Honestly, best way to go, my dad's dad, he was watching a marathon of House Hunters, had a bowl of popcorn, and then a thing of ice cream, then took a nap, and then just didn't wake up from the nap.
That's just,
and
honestly, Jesus saying, it's time, my friend. Come on home. That's the best way to go. Seriously. Yeah. Watch me a little HGTV and you just fall asleep. But no, it was actually like legitimately traumatizing. Like, I put Joss Whedon and Nicholas Sparks in terms of like letting couples being happy. They are the same level of trauma for me.
Ugh.
And I was deep into, like, I had just gotten started on my Buffy in 96 because it was season one. So like we might have been entering season two Angel. It was just like when Angel's evil. So it was like, it was peak, just like traumatizing romance stories for me, one after freaking other.
Why did the 90s hate us so much?
I don't know.
Here's like, the thing. Here's my hypothesis.
Okay, lay it on me.
When you think about it, when you think about like the length and breadth of our years on this planet so far, Jen. Mm-hmm. The 90s were the best, the last best.
I was going to say, because everything was happy. People were making everything money.
Everything was good. So people are like, cooking. We have to manufacture angst.
Because you don't know what pain is. Everything can't be perfect. Yep. Then like the 2000s happened and we're like, oh, we got it.
We need some happy stories.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, they now were just we like, need some happy. Like, all of this feel good, and all of this, like, economic success.
Just to tie this with a bow, as far as, like, honestly, the level of trauma in previous media consumption, that's why when people freaked out over Arrow, it's like, this is insane.
That was nothing. That was nothing.
This is insane.
No. Like, I think that's the problem. We came in with like this very like we're fine guys attitude with Arrow, because we have like we came into it with like deep emotional like scarring from other stories that just ripped out our hearts and shredded them in front of us.
Did you watch TV and movies in the 90s? No, then you're fine.
Like, I'm like, y'all don't know. Like, I just think it's hilarious when everyone's like, oh, the Arrow fandom was so tough, and like, you know,
no,
like the
they
Lord
were they
fans.
Were
I'm like,
were
listen, sissies. It was a cupcake walk. I was like, if
they're,
you need
they
to
handed
be,
us that ship on a platter.
On a platter.
Is there anything
like,
else
you
like?
If you want to bathe in the blood of a fandom war, you need to be doing it with the Vampire Diaries circa 2000. What was it, Maddie? 12 to 2011? One of the two? I can't remember.
No, that's
started.
Still early when it was good. Like,
yeah,
so
but that's what I'm saying. It was good. That's when the fandom wars were at their, like, from season one to season three. When you got up to season three and Elena had to make a choice,
so
listen, you needed to hide your fucking identity on the internet coming out for Damon or Stefan, because people were going to hunt you down and they were going to murder you. Like, that was the level of intensity in the debate between the Stelena and Delana fandom. And they will eviscerate you. Like, oh, you like that scene? This is how you are a pathetic human being and should not be alive on this earth, was really the response on pretty much any kind of, like, this is what I think about the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. That's why, honestly, even during the hardest of like season five and the breakup and stuff, we weren't in pain.
We were
just
fine.
In mild annoyance of like,
it was annoying.
Do we seriously have to go through this? Like, it was like the going to the DMV season.
It's like we knew it, and this just feels like a big fucking waste of time. Is really where.
Can I just do this online? Like,
and as it turns out, it was a waste of time.
I mean. That saves it in any way, shape, or form is 520. But
yes.
Even like, would I give up
the best episode of the series?
Right. And then... Would I give up my favorite episode of the series to avoid the stupid breakup storyline?
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Because you know what I'm going to get instead? The wedding episode about a year and a half earlier. So that's like not even a question for me. Like, okay, well, we got to the point where we all thought we were going to be at a year and a half ago. So that was super fun. Glad we could do that. Thanks.
We just wasted all this time. Like, we could have been two kids deep by the time this show
over. I'm like, y'all, it's not over.
Like, if we just skip the, like, here's the fix.
Well, here's the deal.
No, like, I fixed Arrow as far as I just came up with an epiphany.
Okay, lay it on us.
You skip the stupid Nyssa wedding bullshit, and that gives us another episode. And you just take the conflict of 520 in the Alsahim arc, and like, let's just go through, like, work through all of this.
Yes. No, I always said she's getting pissed off at the wrong time. Like, she's throwing down over the sun when Oliver was really, like, put between a rock and a hard place. It, like, they wanted Oliver to lie to Felicity, but they didn't want it to be his fault, which makes that an almost impossible storyline to achieve. And it just, like, kind of, like, paints Felicity in, like, a very unsympathetic light because it was the sun. But she was mad about the totality of the lying that he had done over all the years.
But they
that
didn't
known
do
him.
A great job of saying this is why she's mad.
Exactly. They really made it about way too much about William, where I kind of feel like she was the real anger where this was bubbling from, because like,
is you just keep lying.
Well, yeah. And like,
and not telling me things.
Saying she was livid with him about that shit because she was like, but like, all that we got was like this happy ending and they went off to live their like little fairy tale life, but they never dealt with any of that anger and any of that frustration that she had towards him. So then like, she kind of thinks they're past it and then he pulls it again. It's like, that's where the rage, and that's why I can't be with you and I can't forgive this, because it's a totality. And they did a terrible job of communicating that. They just made it seem like she's mad about William, which like, I feel like 520 tries to explain it more, but like, people needed that explanation like very early on in season 5 or like in season 4. Like, people were like, we don't get what's going on. Like, they held on to all of the reasons that Felicity is feeling this way, and like, as you're watching 520, you're like, she freaking gave him a wide open door to come back to her and he blew it, like, because he's not dealing with his shit. So like, it made Felicity's actions in season 5 make so much more sense, but they held on to that card way too long.
It shouldn't and, like, have taken 20 episodes to
no,
get
yeah. there. No, the expectation on fan patience was ridiculous. Like, to
Absolutely
expect fans
ridiculous.
To, like, hang through that amount of time and not know what the fuck is happening, like, what is going on, like, that's the like, people were well entitled to their rage and their frustration, because it was an extremely frustrating season. I just draw the line at like, oh, they're never gonna put Oliver and Felicity back together. Like, y'all,
no,
come on. Yes, they are.
It wasn't that kind of pain. It was just frustration, because like, we all know what's happening.
Well, and the other deal was, it wasn't like when they're presenting these other love interests, it's like, none of them, we all knew none of them had a shot in hell. What was so maddening about the Vampire Diaries like fandom is like, both Stefan and Damon, like, she could have ended up with either one of them at the end of the series and it would have made sense.
Yes.
Like, you can't argue that only Stefan made sense or only Damon made sense. Like, the show was built to love around the love triangle. They kept both love triangles cooking just enough on the Selena side that if Nina had stayed, like, they would have brought them back together and she would have had another choice. That's what was so crazy. Like, you're like, I just want to let go of the hope of Stelena. I just want to let it go so I can grieve. And they wouldn't let you go until Nina left. Then it was like, okay, then this is going to be Stephanie and Caroline, which is fine. But yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah, well, now that I got that off my chest.
Feelings on that subject. And we just like walked our way right through it. That was a nice little therapy session, girls. I'm excited for it.
That was wonderful.
Yes. We had Taylor Swift, we had a nostalgia deep dive, and now we've exercised our fandom demons.
Very good. I think always good.
Productive.
See, Maddie, we don't need a separate Vampire Diaries podcast, because we talk about it enough on this one. It should just be like it's a hybrid.
It is.
And Callie and her patience just allows it.
It's we keep the memory of the CW alive.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay, I'm going to say something really controversial.
God, go for it.
So Nick and Lauren have been watching Lois and Clark and Lois.
Oh, God, no.
And they like it.
Don't.
A lot.
That's wrong.
Like, I still can't get behind what's her Lois, but I've seen the clips of Tyler. And I'm like, okay.
He's a really good Superman.
You're like, you deserve a better Superman project.
Yeah. Like, he's a really good Superman. I almost find him more believable than Tom Welling.
Yes, that's Smallville.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So this is going to enrage some people that I just said that. So I say that very carefully and gently, and maybe they'll just not hear that I said it. But yeah, because Nick was like, why don't you watch it with us? I was like, I can't with her. He's like, who? I was like, Lois. He's like, are you for real? He's like, is this about some crossover? I'm like, listen.
These wounds run deep.
Some crossover.
Some fucking crossover. I was like, sit down, my love, and get the lecture of your life. And then he just walked out. He's like, no, I know how these go. I'm like, he's like, I'll be here for 3 hours. I got it. She was shitty in a crossover. I was like, that doesn't come close to how she was in that crossover.
Shitty, Nick.
Like,
sums it up.
Like, she fuels my hate fire every time I see her face on a television screen. I'm just like, fuck you, Lois. And like, I can't get through a scene with her. She could be a completely delightful person on the television show that she's on, but I can't she's see past.
I feel confident in saying she's also, not.
I just feel like she looks way too old for him. And I'm not saying that like men can't be married to older women. It just feels like their chemistry feels very mismatched to me. Like the same awkward chemistry that we saw in the crossover, it didn't look better to me on the show.
You're not wrong.
This is what I feel. See, this is where I have to come to my safe space and tell you guys because I know I'm right.
You are
like,
right.
There's no
you
thing are. In them. There's no one. They're like fucking watching it, you guys. They're like, this is great. It's a great show. I'm like, oh my God.
What is the matter with you?
Although I am excited. They announced the new casting. I don't know the guy who's going to be Superman that well, but like he looks it.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing.
And
he looks just like Henry Cavill. I was like, "What? Okay, why'd we fire Henry Cavill? He looks just like him."
No, but not as insanely, like he has a more Clark Kent look to him because he's a little more trim. But what I'm really excited about is Rachel Brosnahan as Lois because that makes
that's
sense.
Some great casting on Lois. That feels very
reminiscent of Margot Kidder.
Very reminiscent.
Be like whip smart and snappy.
I was like, man, if you're looking for another Margot, that's your girl, Rachel Brosnahan. I was like, oh, and I haven't been excited about a Lois casting in a very long time because like
looking at you,
Brandon Routh. Oh my God, remember him? Who was that actress?
She was that gal that was in
Carrie Thatcher.
Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh was Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth. She was awful. I'm with you on the Lois and Clark, Maddie. I actually think Terry Hatcher, she was a great Lois. That was probably the last Lois I really liked.
And like Amy Adams was just wasted. If like we know Amy Adams,
didn't feel like the right part for her. I just was kind of like, I don't know. She just didn't really fit for me, and I don't think she had great chemistry with Henry Cavill. Like it just didn't work for me. The two of them, I just was like, and they didn't utilize her enough. She was just kind of wasted, and I just was kind of like, I don't know. You need some, you know, especially with that, with Henry's Superman, like you need somebody who's a little bit more bippity boppity boo, you know, kind of a firecracker. And Amy Adams played her very like, you know, even toned, very like mellow. And I'm like, that's not Lois to me. Lois is like, you know, so I'm
Lois
very excited
is the bad bitch in charge.
Yeah, like it's a don't mess with Lois kind of deal. And I just didn't get that vibe from Amy Adams. And I love Amy Adams. I love Amy Adams and like almost everything she does, but I did not love her in that. I did not love her as Lois. So I was fine when they were like, oh, we're recasting Lois. I was like, yeah, that needs to happen. I thought they lost their damn minds when they're recasting Henry Cavill. I'm like, I'm sorry. When you have a smoke show, you stick with it, but whatever. So
apparently, the Witcher is out right now.
Yeah, I haven't started watching it because I'm almost sad because I'm like, well, now I have to watch The Witcher and it's going to be the last one with Henry and that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, why are you even continuing the show? This is just stupid.
I agree.
Just be done. Just end with season three. Oh, and they're always like, oh, what about these people and their jobs? I'm like, listen, it's Hollywood. People lose their jobs all the time. I don't know what to tell you. Don't work in the industry. What can I tell you? I'm just saying the story has to make sense. And it's Liam Hemsworth. He ain't it.
He's never it.
We were discussing this with my family. Can you imagine being Chris Hemsworth's brother? Be as good looking as you are as the other two and still be nowhere near his stratosphere of hotness.
It's true.
Like,
you're not wrong.
Like, I mean, if you're Liam Hemsworth, you got to be a little fucking pissed off. Like, I am this cute and yet still nowhere near my brother in terms of hotness. Like, it's not Everest. He is Everest and I am like a molehill. Like, that's the difference.
I mean, no lies were spoken.
And then you're like the third brother and he's really cute, but it's like, he's like, I mean, it's just. You're standing next to Chris Hemsworth. I was
he's John so short.
Exactly. John Krasinski was trying out for Captain America. They had him in the suit, and he tells this story of like he's getting put in the suit, and he sees Chris Hemsworth walk past in as Thor, and he's like, "I'm not getting this job."
That's very relatable.
Yes, isn't it? That would be totally me. Like, I can't stand next to that dude. Like, are you kidding me? He's like, this is
not,
no.
I'm not getting this. This is not my job.
Fun, but there's absolutely no way they're casting me next to that guy.
There's not enough HGH to make this happen.
Exactly. I mean, and I love myself some Chris Evans. I think Chris Evans is about as hot as you can get next to Chris Hemsworth without being hotter than Chris Hemsworth. That's where I'm at on those two.
I almost understood what you just said.
You know what I mean? Like, he's the one who gets closest to Chris Hemsworth's hotness level, but still just shy.
I agree. Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I see
and
it.
And I say this as a person who doesn't really watch the Thor films.
Listen. It is funniest when he is being funny, or he's at
I'll
his
see Ragnarok. I think I'm just gonna skip funny. The other two, yeah. And I'm just gonna watch Ragnarok and just be done with it.
Just watch Ragnarok. Forget the other two. They're not.
I'm just gonna forget the other two because I, you know, who I don't like. I don't like Natalie Portman in those movies.
And there is no Natalie Portman in Ragnarok.
Sold.
True.
I am generally not a big Natalie Portman fan.
I used to like Natalie Portman.
I used to like her a lot. Like When Calls the Heart. I love her in that.
When Calls the Heart, listen, I'm going to date myself real bad right now because the first movie I ever saw Natalie Portman in was a movie called Beautiful Girls that came out.
I don't think I remember
that. It was one of those 90s movies, okay?
Was that with the French serial killer?
There was no serial killer. That came after Beautiful Girls. I believe Beautiful Girls may have been her first movie. Anyhow. Oh. She was charming. And I was like, she's going places. I'm going to be seeing a lot of her in the future. I like her a lot. And then, like, the prequels came out, and I was like, no.
Like.
No.
I desperately wanted to love her in the prequels, but it was just such a flash.
Well, it's just the material she was given. It's hard to elevate. Like, let's be real.
Can we just say that about all the Star Wars films? Like, there's a level of, like, quality writing that just ain't there, guys. It's just not there.
It's just...
They're all basic kid films. Like, can we just, like, accept that that is, like, the level we're dealing with?
Speaking of...
The ones...
I'm sure you've seen Freddie Prinze Jr.'s rant about this, right?
I have watched that 3,000 times.
It's the most amazing
Star Wars rant
I've ever heard in my life. He's
honestly,
right.
Something about
Freddie Prinze Jr., who was like the teen idol of teen idols when I was a kid, like drop an F-bomb. That's liberating. That's
but he's
number
also
one.
Just and, like reading people for filth. And
yes,
he's right.
And then he just it's like the dressing down of the Star Wars fandom by like on a level that has never been done before. It's just like y'all are gonna hear the truth, and this is the fucking truth, and it's spectacular. And like He's right. He's 100% right on all of it.
Absolutely right.
Yes.
And then he's like, I don't want anybody coming at me about the Force. Because he does a voice of one of, like, the cartoons.
Yes. Correct.
So, like, he's like, I talk to, you know, I know everything about the Force. So don't come at me. You're not going to know more about the Force than me. Like, he really takes this shit, like, fucking seriously. And he's like, I've studied the Force.
God, like, bless.
Ready. Ready. I mean, that could be it, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, he is, like, one of, like, the WWE, like, wrestling writers. Like, he was writing the scripts for a few years doing that.
Oh, he's
yeah,
neat.
I don't know what to tell you. But, yeah, like, the man is passionate about his Star Wars.
You know, like, I respect
around and
that.
Find out is that entire conversation that he has on that podcast is really where it's at.
You have teen movie residuals, and also you're married to SMG, who has Buffy residuals of your friend the last, basically, era. Where people really can make money from film and television.
She's actually got more money than him.
Oh, she 100% does, but...
Yeah. They've been living on the Buffy and the Sarah Michelle Gellar. But, you know, here's the thing about Sarah Michelle Gellar. She made the worst movie choices.
Oh, I know.
I couldn't figure out what
the worst from Cruel Intentions, it was... Yeah.
Well, you're like, okay, Cruel Intentions. This is a good, this is forward movement. We're not doing Buffy. Got it. She's prepping for the big movie career. And then she does, like, Simply Irresistible. And you're like, girl, what the fuck?
Hey, Gail.
And then, yeah, it was just, and then she does Scooby-Doo. I'm like.
I gotta go.
Well, went, I'm glad you met your husband out of it.
Yeah, I'm like, that was a gift for Freddie. And then she does, like, what else? Then she got into her weird indie shit. Like that, those movies that make no, like she does Harvard Man, made no sense. She did another one with, it wasn't The Rock, but it was with, oh, he just won Best Actor, the sweetheart that we all love.
Lady.
He was in The Mummy.
Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Like, oh, Callie's really gotta
weird.
Go.
Yep, that was a super weird one.
Hey, Jen, I think, like, Callie's gotta go.
Yeah, and then she's got, like, she's got a bunch of weird indie stuff that, and then she had, like, the horror thing. She did, like, a horror
Jennifer.
Thing for 5 seconds.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
Wait, say that again, Matthew. What did you say?
I have to go.
Callie's been trying to say, like, 3 times that she needs to go, and then...
We want to keep you forever. I actually really have to get some work done. Like, I have so much work to do, guys. You have no idea. I'm going to be up till 3. We talked about Sarah Michelle Gellar's movie career. A total great use of our time. So.
It was.
Absolutely.
It really was.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.